And tonight I want to share a little bit of the passion of my heart. Another one, I've said a passion of my heart the last couple of nights, so I might as well do it again tonight. And it's the area of healing. I have a passion for the supernatural power of God to move through me. I have a passion to teach people that the anointing and the supernatural power of God can work through every believer in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that he who believes in me, the things that I do, shall you do also. And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that if you and I are going to move in the dimension that Jesus moved in, then we need to understand that the presence of God, we need to get from the presence of God something special. And I believe the thing that we need to get from the presence of God and from the Word of God is faith to start believing. Because the Word of God is where you get faith. The Word of God says faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And so as you begin, if you will never have the faith that you need to believe the things that God has for your life or the things that you dream of. I remember when I was a very young person, I had this dream of going to Russia. I was a pretty good shot putter. And as a child, and I developed the skill of shot putting and became a New Zealand representative shot putter. I actually never went overseas to represent New Zealand, but I became a national champion, and it was really an exciting time for me. But as a child, I dreamed when I was young, my ambition was to go to Russia to the Olympic Games. And I don't know why, but Russia always was in my heart. Well, I actually never got to throw the shot put in Russia, but I had that dream never really left. In fact, when I came to know the Lord, I knew the real reason why I had that dream in my heart. Amen. It's so amazing. I knew the real reason why God planted that in my spirit. I knew the real reason why I that seed was planted in my heart. And I had the privilege of going to Vladivostok. And Vladivostok was amazing for me. It was very special. Vladivostok did more for me than I ever will have done for Vladivostok. I saw young men and women of God that were passionately hungry to serve their God. I saw young men and women of God who had absolutely nothing that still were passionately hungry to serve their God. And you know, they just believed God daily for the things that they needed. It was the most amazing thing for me. It was wonderful. It was the same when I went to India. It was the same when I went to different parts of the Philippines and all sorts of different countries that I've been to. But I really believe that faith comes by the Word of God. And God began to implant in my heart a desire to see the supernatural power of God. And I remember once when I was just a young Christian. In fact, I was nursing at the time. And my friend Margie and I were nursing together. And she was actually in charge of the ward that night. And I was actually under her in the ward. And I was second in charge. And she came to work with vomiting and the most horrendous migraine headache. Well, something really weird had happened the day before and the week before. It was probably about Wednesday or Thursday by this time. But on the Sunday, we had had teaching, and I had never really heard teaching about the healing power of God before until not seen it demonstrated, where I saw people laying hands on people and them getting healed. And then they started teaching us that if we were a believer in Jesus Christ, then we could do that too. And there was a dimension of hunger in my heart. I thought, wow, imagine if I could do that. Imagine how awesome that would be. At that time, obviously, it was so that I could do that. But at the time, God knows your heart. And he knows where he's taking you and all of those things that are happening in your life. And the week before, I'd actually had a headache the day before, and I thought to myself, I was in my bedroom, and I thought, oh, maybe this is a good excuse for a day off work. And then I thought, nah, not a good enough excuse. And so I prayed for myself. I laid my hands on my head like I was instructed to do and prayed for myself. And you know, the most amazing thing is I got healed. Instantly, I got healed. Why? Because that day that I was instructed about healing, see, the Word of God talks about healing, and faith rose in my heart to grab a hold of it and believe for it. And you know what? I began to get passionate in my heart. I thought, man, I would love to see people healed. I would love to see it. I would love to see people healed. I just love it. And I realized that it was something of the dimension of the Spirit that God had put within my heart to start reaching out for, to touch the world of the gospel with Jesus, of Jesus Christ, to touch the world. And I also realized that it was a part of the prophetic thing that God was doing in people's lives. I believe that it is the part of the gifts of the Spirit beginning to operate. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues. What for? Why did I speak in tongues? To bless me, to edify me. Why did I do this? Why did, and I started to start thinking, why am I doing these things? And is it just for me, or is there a bigger purpose for this? God began to challenge me with a bigger purpose. So I prayed for myself and I got healed that day, and I got to work on the next day, and Margie said, remember, that was a little headache I had yesterday, but this is a big headache today. She had been vomiting before she got to work, and she still came because she knew that she was in charge. When she got there, she said, after about half an hour, she said, Cecily, I'm going to have to go home. And I thought, no way, Jose, you're not leaving me in the lurch to hold this. And I said to her, Margs, Nan, well, you know what we heard in church, because she was a Christian as well, and she came to the same church as me. You know what we heard in church on Sunday? Why don't we do it? Because yesterday I got healed because I had a headache. Not a big headache, but a headache. And I got healed. I said, why don't I lay hands on you? And the tears just rolled down her face. Margie used to regularly get migraine headaches. Regularly. Like once, twice a month. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And if any of you have headaches, you'll understand the horror of it. I'm not really a headaches person, so I don't know the horror of it. And I thank God for that. But Margie was, and she regularly got them. She had glasses and all kinds of things because of it. And anyhow, I said to her, can I pray for you, Margs? Please let me pray for you. Please don't go home. Let me pray first. And she said, okay, as the tears rolled down her face. So we went down to the nurses, to the staff toilets, and I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus Christ and released the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to touch and to heal. I learned that when you lay hands, you release the power of God. And so I don't know anything else. All I know is, Lord, I release your healing power. Power in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what else to do. I just release your power. Do you know what? That girl stopped vomiting. Her headache left instantly. Not only did it leave instantly, but she has never, from that day till this, had another migraine headache. Glory to Jesus. And that was close to scary 20 years ago. And so in the midst of that, I thank God for his healing power. And you see, something inside of me began to, it was very real. And then I came here to Faith Bible College, and my passion for Jesus just kept growing. And I came here, and there was a guy who came to this college that really, really challenged me to the absolute max, a guy called Stuart Grimmens. And Stuart came, and he was doing what they called at that time Jesus Heals campaigns in India. And I want to tell you, he was telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ, how you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and release the power of God, that the gifts of God that I was knowing about, the gifts of word of knowledge, the gift of healing, the gifts of miracles, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of the power of the Spirit of God could operate through me, who was about 4 or 5 years old as a young Christian. And I want to tell you, everything on the inside of me leapt and something said, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. You know why I could do it? Because it was so simple and everybody in the body of Christ can do it. And it was the most amazing, and these simple principles that Stuart began to teach me blew my mind. Not only that, they asked for people to go to India. Well, I'll tell you, I had ants in my pants. I couldn't sit, and like I was unbelievably uptight. I just couldn't sit still. I knew that I was it, and I went and saw Des, and I said to Des, "Des, I'm going to India," and he said, "Uh-huh." He'd heard it before, and I said, "And I haven't got any money," and he said, "Mm-hmm." And I said, but it's in 6 weeks, Des. And he said, And he said, I'll pray with you, Cecily. So he took my hand and he agreed with me in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, I had been praying that the power of God would come. God would provide for me. Miraculously, God told me he would provide for me. I had checks come. In fact, I had a check in the post arrive from a lady in Wellington who I'd never met in my life, who had a dream, who God gave her the dream and said, send a check for $1,000 to Cecily Stoneham, Faith Bible College, marked India. When I got back and I showed Des the check, I want to tell you, we were skipping around that office. It was so exciting. I was so excited, and I said, Lord, please, thank you. And that was just the beginning. And money just came from everywhere. It was so amazing. On the graduation night, I actually got to share a little bit about what I was doing after college. And I said that I was going to India. I actually left on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock after graduation. And people came up to me from everywhere that I never even knew and said, here's a little bit of ice cream money. When I got back to the college, the students just kept coming saying, Cess, you know, let's open your mail. Let's open your. We counted up my ice cream money. It was $900. Quite a lot of ice cream, huh? Praise the Lord. I know I look like I ate it, but I didn't. And the interesting thing about it is that God honored me. And, you know, when I went to India, I saw what I desired because I had seen a video. A video clip like this had inspired me because I saw people praying for people in lines that were being healed. And I thought, yes, that's me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to see your power, God. But you know what? I was like a scared rabbit on the inside. Here on the outside, there was this, yes, I'm going to do this. But on the inside, I cried about half of the way on the plane to India saying, God, what am I going to do when I get there? I don't know what to do. But I want to tell you, God released something in my heart, and I know it to this day, faith. He released faith in my heart to start believing him for the supernatural. I saw people that were blind, children that were deaf and dumb from birth, lepers. I saw before my own eyes new fingers grow out of the stumps of hands that were left from lepers. I saw the power of God move. I saw a lady that was paralyzed from the neck down. She'd been like that for 15 years. Totally healed by the power of God. And everything in me said yes. But this is it, okay? 11 months later, I came home. Came home to New Zealand. And when I was coming home to New Zealand, I was saying, God, your power is the same in India as it is in New Zealand, isn't it? Because you see, I had actually never seen the power of God moved like that in that particular way in New Zealand. I'd seen a few lovely things happen, but I hadn't seen the dimension. And I hadn't had it myself, see. This was all a new thing for me as well. But I was starving hungry for God to show me. I met this lovely lady. Their family have since moved back to Singapore to live. But she was a New Zealand lady married to a Chinese Singaporean man. And she had these two little babies, and I'd been traveling home on the plane on my way home. We'd been traveling for a long time by train, and we hadn't had very much sleep, and we were on the plane. We'd been to Singapore. We hadn't had very much sleep there everywhere either because we played too much. And then on the plane on the way home, there was this baby right next to me who screamed for 10 hours. It was really good for my character. What I did was decide that I didn't want to grow character, and she had a little sister, and I took the little sister and went down to the back of the plane and found another seat and looked after her for her mother so this mother could cope with the screaming child. And so I gave her a meal, and we made friends. We made friends together, and I made friends with the mother. She wasn't a Christian or anything. And she had been back to Singapore to take her children back to Singapore to visit their family. And so she was now on her way back to New Zealand. And, you know, I tell you, I was still saying all the way home on the plane, Lord, you are the same God in New Zealand as you are in India, aren't you? Aren't you, God? And while that was happening, it was the most incredible thing in my heart. I kept saying, Lord, I know that you are. I could sense it on the inside. I could sense God's power. I could sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I could sense the faith that I had received through the laying on of hands. And people laid hands on me in India and prayed for me. And I was homesick and all of those things. I had some amazing experiences. It was an incredible time. Some of it was horrendous. Some of it was awesome, but it's always like that. That's what life's like, hey? And so that's what happened for me. When I was coming home, I said, Lord, please help me. Help me, Lord. When we got to the airport in Auckland, I was getting my luggage, and I got all my luggage together. And those of you that have traveled will know that you don't give anything to anybody in airports. Anyway, I decided to help this lady get her luggage from off the baggage ramp. And as I was helping her, I just knew that I couldn't work out which was hers. And so I said to her, look, would you like me just to hold your baby? And you do that. She obviously grew to trust me. And I put her baby over my shoulder, and I realized that I had seen it before, these legs that were dangling down my front were the legs of a baby that had polio. And that child was screaming because of the pain in its hips and in the top part of its body. That baby looked like she was about one, but she was actually about 22 months, nearly 2 years old. And I looked at the baby and I recognized it because I'd prayed for people with polio, children with polio in India, and I'd seen the power of God touch them and heal them. And everything in me said, pray for her. And I thought, get behind me, Satan, is what I thought. I don't think so. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, please, just show me what to do. I don't know what to do here. And out of my mouth burst these words to this mother. And I said, do you believe that Jesus can heal your child? And she spun around with a bag in her hand, and she looked at me with the most malicious look I've ever seen in my life, and she said, it's been prayed for 1,000 times. And you know, when you just new at this, and well, I mean, I was just beginning, I was just pretty new at this, it was like the wind being knocked out of your sails. I sort of like I wanted to go take a step back and put my hands up and say, I surrender, you know. But I suddenly said, and the Holy Spirit just let his peace come on me, and he said to me, say no. And out of my mouth came these words again, and I said, that's not what I asked you, honey. I asked you do you believe that Jesus Christ can heal your little girl? And she looked at me and she said, do you? And I thought, God, you are the same God in India as you are in New Zealand, aren't you? God, you are surely God, you are the same God. God, and that same peace of God just came over me again. That same peace of God just began to flow over me again. And I thought, oh my gosh, and I looked at her and I nodded and I said, yes, I do. And I said, can I pray for your baby? And she said, if you want to. And I thought, I don't want to. But I thought, I can't resist it. And I knew that this was God showing me reality, saying, Cecily, if you don't do this now. I sat down on my baggage, took this baby in my arms, and I put my hands upon her, and I had learned to pray a little bit better by that time. And I just released the power of God and had learned how to pray. And I don't remember what I prayed, but I prayed healing in the name of Jesus. I took authority over the spirit of polio, and I released the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, the affliction upon her body, the whatever else. I just went for it and prayed for this baby. Do you know, before my eyes, I saw little muscles begin to develop, because that child's legs just sort of hung there and they were really thin and they didn't have very much muscle developed. And I saw muscles begin to develop before my eyes. And by this time, I want to tell you, I was weeping. And every time I think about it, it brings me to tears. I was just weeping as I saw the muscles begin to come down to the ankles. And those little feet that were just like this began to look like real feet. It was the most amazing thing. I said to the mother before, I said, what did the doctors tell you about this little girl? They said that she would never stand on her hips, on her own legs. She would never stand on her own hips and on her own legs, and she would never walk. I thank God that that day, God did a miracle. His miracle working power, the gift of miracles began to operate that day. And the Spirit of God touched that little lady, that little baby. And you know, that baby, I've never seen a father's face anywhere like I saw that day. I had the privilege of leading that family to Jesus. I thank God that God touched them that day. And I've actually kept in contact with that family. And that little girl is now something, I think she must be about 14 or 15 years old now. She is totally healed by the power of God. Totally healed by the power of God. I've lost contact in the last couple of years, but I saw her 3 years ago. And I think they were going to Singapore at the time. So I thank God for the power of God. And from that time on, I never doubted that Jesus Christ was the same here as he was there. And that God had built a faith in my heart to believe for healing, to believe for healing for people and for situations and for things that were unbelievable. And I've seen God do some amazing, miraculous things. Do you know, the reason why I'm telling this is not to say how great I am. But the word of God says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think, according to what? To the power of God that works in you. To the power of God that works in you. But you know, that faith that over that year that I had been there had grown and it had developed, because I had faith before, but it was the size of a mustard seed. But what had happened was my faith muscles over that period of 11 months had begun to grow, and I began to develop faith and began to see the power of God. See, when I first started praying for people, I prayed for pimples and headaches, mostly my own pimples and headaches. And that's the truth. It's true, I didn't start praying for people with cancer or polio or any of those things. I started with simple things, and God grew faith in my heart, and I began to see the power of God develop and grow in my life. And I thank God, because I believe that Jesus Christ is the healer. I believe it with all of my heart. I could tell you hundreds and hundreds of stories, but I want you to know that God wants to use you. You see, the gifts of the Spirit of God are for us, but they're not for us, for us. They're for us to release to the body, not to the just the church, not just the church, but I mean, the Spirit of God wants us to use them for the world. For example, I'll give you one last story before I finish, because I know Carl's got to fit in here, and it's really awesome, but I just want to give you with one last story. When I was down south, I was lecturing in a Bible college in Wellington. And I had been staying there, and in this particular Bible college at the time, when I was there, it took me 3 days, really, and I was there for 5 days. But for the first 3 days, the students had become so theory orientated that the practical of the outworking power of God was like they even doubted that God could move in power. It was the saddest thing. It broke my heart. And every lunchtime I would go down to the beach and I would cry out to God. I would say, God, please soften the hearts of these young people. They're awesome men of God who need the power of God in their life, because they will not be effective in their ministries unless the power of God begins to operate. Unless they begin to believe that God can use them. And that those gifts can be for them. If you don't believe that God can give you those gifts and receive them for yourself, then you will miss out on the things that God has for your life and wants to operate and do. So anyway, this particular day I've been preaching on releasing how the gifts of God wanted us to use for the world. And while I was down the beach, I just walked down the beach, and you had to sort of park your car at the top of the hill and walk down over a bank and go down to the water. And I had changed my clothes and got into some casual things, and I was walking along the beach just really enjoying just blowing out the cobwebs and praying. And as I was doing that, just walking along, I looked sort of out the side of my face, and there was a lady with a little girl, about 3 and a half, maybe 4 years old, sitting in like a puddle of water. The waves were coming in. They were obviously sitting in this hole. And I walked past, and then I noticed out of the side of my eye that she was crying. And I just kept walking past, and the Holy Spirit said, go back. And I thought, oh, please, Lord. Do I have to? I'm just, you know, having a nice time. And then I thought, yes, I do have to. So I went back. And I went back and I just said to her, are you okay? That was a word of knowledge from God. That's how simple it is. Do you know all it took? I could have kept walking if I wanted to. You know what it took? Obedience. God wants to give them to you. If you're not obedient, you'll miss it. You know why you're not obedient mostly? Because you don't look for them. You don't have an expectation that those miracles will happen every day, that those appointments will happen. I pray every day the divine appointment of God with people that are lost, with people that need the love of God, that the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, when I pray in tongues, I'm not very good at waking up. I don't do mornings. But this is how I wake up, and it works for me. I began to pray in tongues, and my spirit begins to rise. I'll tell you, when you've been praying in tongues for a little while, you can't lay there for very long, because your spirit begins to rise and buzz within you. And I was laying there, and then I began to just say, Lord, give me divine appointments for the day. See, I'd done that as normal that day, and I was ignoring it. But because I had done that, I had this little antenna up that said, is this my divine appointment? Yes, it is. But you see, if I hadn't asked God for a divine appointment, I would have missed it because I wasn't expecting one. It brings an expectation, a level of faith begins to grow in your heart. And so that's what happened. And so this particular, I had done that. And here I was in the stuffy classroom with some wonderful men and women of God, but had just started to break through in the spirit realm. And just as I had done that and was feeling like it was happening, here was this lady, and I went back to her, and she was crying, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yes, but look," and she pulled her leg out of the hole. It was black and blue and purple. It was absolutely, and it was about triple the size. It was maybe not triple, but it was at least double or more the size of a normal ankle, and it was black and blue. It had been extremely badly damaged. 5 minutes before this had happened. Amazing. It was amazing. And I said to her, "Oh my gosh." I said, "How did you do that?" And I realized that children the day before or sometime had built, been digging big holes. And you know how when the tide comes in and you're walking along and you're just walking along and you walk into a soft patch? It's usually where children have been digging big holes. And the sand has come up and it's soft when the rest of the sand is firm. And she just literally went over on her ankle and I suspect tore every muscle and ligament damage. Unbelievable. The heel was black and blue, so I suspect she probably did the Achilles tendon as well. So she was really a mess. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Pray for her." Well, my heart was pounding. I want to tell you, my heart was pounding. You know, and I mean, it sounds like this is really easy for me, but I want you to know it's not. Because I had the choice whether I was obedient to God or not. My heart was pounding, saying, praying for her, and the enemy was standing there saying, "What if she doesn't get healed? You look like a fool. And anyway, what good can you be? And anyway, you know, please." And I thought to myself, suddenly I realized that I had been in a classroom, I was teaching on healing. And God really challenged my heart. And I said to her, "I know this probably sounds really weird to you, but I love Jesus, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to bring healing. And you're in a very bad way right now. And God loves you. And he doesn't want you to be in this sort of pain. If you will allow me to, I would love." Before that, actually, I'd offered to help her to become a crutch, to be a crutch for her to take her up to the car, just try and getting out of the praying. I actually stalled for a bit. I didn't actually immediately be obedient, okay? I'm not that good. And then the Holy Spirit says, "Well, suit yourself, sis." And I thought, "Oh, Lord." And so I start, and she said, and she just cried, and she said, "Oh, you sound like," what did she say? The actual words were, "I think my husband's one of you." Well, I thought to myself, "Oh," I said, "Oh," because, you know, there's so many wackos in the world today. It could have been anything. So I thought I'd check it out a little bit further. She said, "Yeah, he's been going to a church in Hamilton. We come from Hamilton and we're just on holiday. And he's been going to this church and he's been trying to get me to go, but I'm not going anywhere near it. When they pray for people, they fall over. And he's been trying to get me to come, but I'm not going there." And I said, and what else about him? You know, what makes you think he's one of me? And she said, "Well, he came home from church about 4 weeks ago saying that he was born again or something." And I thought, he could be one of us. And so, when we're as clear as that, well, you know, normally that's true. And so I said to her, "Oh, okay." And then I thought, "Oh, thank you, Lord. This is worse scary," but, you know, and I just talked to her and I just said to her, "Well, do you know what? I just think that I would love the privilege of praying for your ankle right now." And the pain was so bad. Tears were rolling down her face. I laid hands on her ankle and prayed for her. In the name of Jesus, can't remember what I prayed, but released the anointing. Do you know, before our eyes, that ankle swelling went down. And that bruise that was black and blue, you know how when a bruise gets old, it turns like yellow and green around the edges and gets that yellowy tinge to it? That's exactly what happened. It was the most amazing thing before our eyes. And I said, "Wow, isn't God awesome?" And I said, "Well, move your leg, see if it's okay." She moved it And she said, yeah, it's cool. And I said, how about that? God is so good. I said, do you know what? I think my God has the most awesome sense of humor. And she looked at me and I said, do you know why? Because he knew that you wouldn't come to church, so he brought the church to you. That's what you and I need to understand. If we're the church, where is it? Woo-hoo! I love Jesus. And I love everything that he's got. And I want to encourage you tonight, folks, that God has a really special place in his heart for you. And he wants to use you. Ask him for divine appointments. Try it. See what happens. See what happens. I guarantee it, you'll have some boomer things happen. It will bless you. And you will see. Don't start with big, huge things. Start with little things. Start with little things, you know. And you know what? Hang around with people that do the big things and then faith will grow in you too. Yeah, that's what I did. Man, I hung around people where the power of God was. I wanted the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in my life. I wanted the power. And I hung around a guy called Don, and I just hung there. And then I wanted the mercy and the compassion of God, of which I didn't have very much of at the time. Praise God, I've got a bit more these days. And I hung around a guy called Bruce McDonald, and I thank God. He's a compassionate, wise, merciful man. And I hung around that guy. I wanted to learn the Word of God, and I wanted the passion for the Word of God, and I hung around Des Short and Jim Hearn and a few of those guys that implanted and put into my life some amazing principles of God. I wanted to see the operation of the power of God happening in my life, and I hung around Stewie Grimmins, and I hung around the people that hung around them. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't be afraid to begin to see that God wants to release his power to your life so that you become more effective in the kingdom of God. I'm sick of being non-effective in the kingdom of God. I want to be effective in the kingdom of God. I just want to read one last scripture to you. I've got it written here if I can find it. Oh, man, I love this scripture. It says, it's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it divides. It divides that which is good and evil, cutting away. But you know, in the Amplified Version, I love the Amplified Version of it. And it says this, the word of God is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And I want to be effective for God. And I know that you wouldn't be here tonight if that wasn't your desire. You wouldn't be here wasting 2 or 3 hours here just hanging around. It's because you want to be effective too. And you want to know that God's got some things for you. I believe that God wants to release people tonight in a very special way. I would like us just to stand for a minute. I'd like us to stand. I want you to raise your hands before God. If you mean business with God and you want the power of God to begin to operate in your life, the supernatural power of God, you want faith to begin to develop in a new way in your heart, then I want you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, I receive the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, I receive that which you want to do in my heart and in my life to cause that to come to pass. Father, I receive, Lord, training from you. I receive wise counsel. I receive the word of God, which is quick and sharp and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, I receive, Lord, the work of the character of God developing in my life, so that I will not go astray. Father, I receive the anointing of the Spirit of God that will release the power of God to touch people and set them free. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are an awesome God. And you want to use ordinary people like us. Father, I'm an ordinary girl from Matata, Father, just down the coast. And I love you, Lord, and I desire that you would use me. Father, I have such a passion for you, Lord. Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord, that you can use ordinary people like us. Father, we're nobody special except that we're special to you. And you love us, Lord, and you want to pour out your power upon us. You want to pour out your anointing upon us. You want to do your work in us. You want to give us a purpose and a hope for our life. You want to implant your purpose and your spirit within our being. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, minister to us tonight by your Spirit. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. So in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we release the anointing of the Spirit of God right now for the supernatural power of God, Father, to rule, to begin to move in our lives, not to rule, but to move in our lives and become a normal part of the effective work of the ministry that we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Glory to Jesus. Praise God, hey?